Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Melanie C., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Canby, Oregon. Today is Thursday, May 26, 2022, and today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 6, and we're going to unpack today paragraph 1, and that begins with the remorse, horror, and hopelessness of the next morning are unforgettable, and ends with two bottles and oblivion. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Deb E., the 12 traditions, Linda B., reading the text today in support, Lois P., Robin P., Jody E., listen for the end of the meeting for Leah S., to greet newcomers, to get sponsor contact information, and then Leslie W. will finish us out today with some announcements for things that are going on here at A Vision for You. Stay to the top of the hour if you can. The share ID numbers for yesterday's Wednesday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting is 18992, 18,992, and that would be for the 10 a.m. May 25th, 2022 meeting. And then this morning, 7 a.m. meeting, Thursday, May 26th, 18994, 18,994 is the share ID number for this morning. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Deb E. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you. This is Deb E. in Arlee, Montana, and I'm going to read the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for the opportunity to do service, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Debbie from Montana. I can't remember the name of the city, but I was hoping to, for reading those 12 steps. I would like to now ask Linda B. from Canada to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you, Melanie, and good morning to everyone, and especially the newcomer. My name is Linda B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Ontario, Canada. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority. a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for the opportunity to be of service, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Linda B. from Canada. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and a quiet recording, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Observe the star 1 key function only for this process, please. Thank you very much. Today, we're on page 6 in Bill's story, and we are going to be taking apart paragraph 1 today, and it begins with the remorse, horror and hopelessness of the next morning are unforgettable, and ends with, so two bottles and oblivion. I'd like to ask Lois P. to read that paragraph for us today and comment on her experience with it, please, and then we'll open it up to the rest of the fellowship here to comment on that paragraph. Good morning, Lois.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, everyone. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. The remorse, horror, and hopelessness of the next morning are unforgettable. The courage to do battle was not there. My brain raced uncontrollably, and there was a terrible sense of impending calamity. I hardly dared cross the street, lest I collapse and be run down by an early morning truck, for it was scarcely daylight. An all-night place supplied me with a dozen glasses of ale. My writhing nerves were stilled at last. A morning paper told me the market had gone to hell again. Well, so had I. The market would recover, but I wouldn't. That was a hard thought. Should I kill myself? No, not now. Then a mental fog settled down. Gin would fix that. So two bottles and oblivion. The pain, the darkness that Bill is in, the horror, just the word horror, of knowing that his life is ended, that he's living in a place where light does not enter any longer. He's completely fragile and broken, but yet not completely. We see in this paragraph how vulnerable and uncontrollably, just how vulnerable and uncontrollable his situation is. This demon of alcoholism, of addiction, and in my life, food addiction, how that demon of addiction just takes hold and runs us into a place of horror and hopelessness. And even though there were moments when Bill had moments of clarity and he thought he could manage just as I thought I could, and many of you here with me think we can, we're not so bad, we manage our lives, but then there are the times when I know I was completely overrun by the addiction. I could not stop. He cannot stop. He has a terrible sense of impending calamity. I know that feeling. I know the feeling of being scared to just go out and do my job, go to work, be with my kids, because I had eaten so much that my mind was just racing and out of control, and I just prayed that I could get through the day and not hurt myself or anyone else because I was so filled with my addictive substance. Writhing nerves were stilled at last, he said. Yeah, I know that feeling of being a nervous wreck, of having too much sugar, too much junk in my bloodstream, where my body and my mind were struggling just to stay conscious. I've driven my car where I would be almost passing out on the road because I was so overwhelmed with the substance that was running around in my blood. This whole paragraph is, we are sitting in the front row of the horror story of Bill's life up until this moment. And he knows he's lost, and yet he doesn't have the courage, thank God, or the wherewithal to actually kill himself. And yet, that's exactly what he's doing. He's looking for total oblivion. He wants out of this pain and suffering that his life has become. And I know that feeling. And I'm sure many of you know that feeling. Maybe just briefly, for a day, for a moment, but we have been in that hell that this poor soul has been in. And yet, he's broken.
That's time.
Thank you. And yet, he's not yet completely down. So, with that, I will pass.
Thank you very much, Lois P., for reading that and getting us started today in the study that we have. I'd like to offer an invitation for additional comments on paragraph 1, page 6 of Bill's story. If you are interested in sharing your experience on that paragraph, I'd love to take your first name, the first initial of your last name, and your state, please. Cynthia C. Cynthia.
Carol G.
Carol G.
Leah S.
Leah S.
Adele R.
Marcella.
Adele.
Leah A.
I heard Marcella, I think, didn't I? Yep.
Marcella
A. And then Aaliyah. Okay. That's all I'm going to take for now, y'all. So let's see what I have. I have Cynthia C., Carol G., Leah S., Adele. I didn't get your last initial. Marcella M. and Aaliyah. So first up, Cynthia C., followed by Carol. 3 minutes for you, madam.
Thank you. This is Cynthia C., recovered compulsive overeater in Newton, Massachusetts. Thank you all for your tremendous service today and every day. And I'm sorry, I didn't get the name of the person who did the lead share. Thank you so much. I completely related to your share and this passage. Oh, my gosh. Oblivion, 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 oblivion. That literally is what, you know, and listen, I was drawn to the food because I'm an addict, you know. Like, I'm an addict, and my body reacts differently to sugar and other substances than when a civilian's body does, like I, for sure. But, you know, I grew up in this very violent, dysfunctional, mentally ill home. And I didn't have any tools to cope with life. Bill doesn't have the right tools to cope with life. And he's, you know, drowning in alcohol. And, you know, that was like my saving grace, the food oblivion. I knew I was going for food oblivion. Something bad would happen And I would plan my binge, you know, like that was it. Because and I remember thinking at times, like, you know, food was my best friend, which is so sad. It's so sad to think about that. That's how I felt in my life in like my 20s and 30s, you know, like the food was my best friend. That like food was always there. Food was my higher power. Food was always going to be there for me, even when my family members or significant others were not. And I searched out that food oblivion because I was so deeply miserable. I had no idea how to like find the real true me and what the real true me needed. And I can't find the real true or authentic me without finding my higher power. And, you know, I'm just deeply grateful for these rooms because that's not how I function today. And I don't look for the food oblivion, and food is not my best friend. You know, and that I reach out to my higher power and work the 12 steps like my hair is on fire every day. Thank you all so much. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Cynthia. I hope that my computer sound didn't make you think you had not enough time left because you had a full minute. Okay, next up is Carol G, followed by Leah S. Star one real quick, like Carol G. That will open your mic to be heard.
Hi. Thank you so much, Melanie, and thank you, Lois. I'm in Illinois, and I just wanted to say this paragraph reminds me of how I felt when I hit my bottom 13 years ago, and I knew about OA. Every decade, I would check it out and leave and think, no, I'm not that bad. But this last time when I came in, I knew there was no other way, and I did feel that horror and hopelessness, that I couldn't control it. Even when I was older and I had a binge, like before a blood test. I mean, who does that? So obviously it looked very weird. And I'm like, oh my gosh, look at what I'm doing. I'm seeing it in black and white, what I'm doing in my body. I can't still stop. And then I just came running back to OA, and I'm just so glad I did. And that thing about him feeling suicidal, that insecurity, when you say reach the bottom, it's like a free fall. So much of my life was being an addict based on crisis and danger. That was my excitement, and yet I was so insecure, I felt sometimes I was just falling and there was no bottom. Whenever I get too far removed from my connection with my higher power, or if my food has to be tightened up, I know the first thing I start feeling is fear. Fear and that sense of insecurity and impending doom for no reason. And that's a sure sign all the red flags go up, like, oh, you're depending on your self-will. You're trying to control your own life and you just can't do it. So you better, you know, get back to where you're supposed to be. So I'm just so grateful that there are warning signs to look out for. I've been doing this long enough, so I know how it feels to be right in the pocket, right in God's pocket. That's where I want to live. Sometimes it's not always easy because sometimes he tells me to do things and I'm too lazy. But it's I just know from experience I have to do it, and I want to do it now. And also I just want to say the thing about doing service. I know that when I do service and I do it for wanting to be a servant of my higher power, I get so rewarded. I just sense him really being pleased when we do that and not doing it for ego reasons or out of guilt, but just out of pure love and wanting to give back. So thanks, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Carol G, for your share this morning. Leah S., you're next for 3 minutes, followed by Adele.
Thank you so much, Melanie. Good morning, everyone. My name is Leah S., and I'm recovered and very grateful in Brooklyn, New York. I am going to focus on one sentence and one word. The courage to do battle was not there. The courage, I mean, for crying out loud, wasn't I a courageous person? Wasn't I a successful person? Or what's going on here? And I had to admit, I had to come to step one and admit that I am powerless over this silly thing about food. What is it that I can't control about that? but step two led me into coming to believe. The first couple of words, coming to honestly admit to myself that I am really, really, I'm just a pawn, because everything that is going on in my life is being led by that higher power. Things and events are happening not by my doing. So, God Almighty, where do I get courage from? It's so ironic, by telling myself, I am nothing, I am really nothing. Well, that's actually the release and the power that you all of a sudden do get when you believe that there is a power greater than yourself. Because I'm allowing myself to be led. I'm allowing and I'm understanding that this is not me. Nothing is me. I'm just going to do the next right thing, and God is going to give it to me. And wow, I've got courage. I never spoke in front of a people. And I find myself so much talking and just blabbering away because I'm so excited because I learned something new in this program today. And oh my God, I learned something new yesterday. This is what the courage is. This is what God is doing to me. And this is what I find out of this. I can't, you know, all these dramas and episodes and sagas, oh my goodness, because I didn't understand that I could bring God into my heart. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Leah S. Next up is Adele. And then following Adele will be Marcella.
Hi, this is Adele R. from Kansas City. Thank you, everyone, for your shares. And I have a rare opportunity to be at this meeting today. And I just felt that I wanted to just express my gratitude for the meeting and this fellowship. And it's just the ground that I stand on. This reading is relatable. And it's just kind of a nauseating reminder of how it was. I wouldn't say I was ever suicidal, but I did think that it would be really appropriate destiny if I ate a Snickers bar that was poisoned. And the level of suicide that I had going was just that I was numb. I was on mute with the food, and it would just bring me so low. And then when I was trying to reach up, the only thing that was there was the food to reach for again and again. So I'm just so glad to hear this story in the context of this book, which has given me hope, which has given me the steps, which has given me all of you, and I couldn't do it without this fellowship. So thank you to everyone. I pass.
Thank you very much, Adele R. from Kansas. Marcella M., you're up next for 3 minutes, and then Alea.
Hi, Melanie. My name is Marcella. I'm a compulsive, a recovered compulsive overeater. And I'm so grateful to be here. Same thing. I was looking so much forward to this free day in which I could connect live with you. Just like Bill, you know, and even in recovery, most days I feel happy, joyous, and free, completely liberated from the mental obsession. And yet, as I age in abstinence, there are days in which I hit a teeny little button in which I'm confused and I say, what am I supposed to be eating again? The definition of entire abstinence has to change as I'm aging and my circumstances change. And what I mean by recover, it means that I can go with Bill and say, okay, remember where you're coming from. Remember that you have access to an unlimited power that will allow you to take the right decision and just surrender to the great fact that my role with food needs to be restructured and that my role with food choices becomes clearer and clearer as I keep moving forward, and that God, in His infinite grace, allows me to have the ability to implement the necessary changes in my food plan to keep enjoying the peace of mind that so gracefully has been granted to me all these years. So even in recovery, you know, I walk with Theo and I wake up and I say, time to make another change, another adjustment. And I'm willing to do so. Is it easy? No, sometimes it's not fun, but is it worth it? You bet you it is absolutely worth it. And I love you guys, and it's good to be here, and without a pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Marcella M. And I want to let folks know, before we have Alea come up to share on this paragraph, where we are. You're going to find us in Bill's story on page 6 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And we're taking apart paragraph 1 today and studying it basically line upon line and sharing on our experience there. So if you'd like to share in 3 minutes after Alea's share, I'd like to open up the lines for additional comments on that paragraph. So get ready in 3 minutes. Okay, it's your turn, Alea. Good morning.
Good morning. May I be heard?
Yes, loud and clear. Just jump right in.
So my name is Alea A, and I live in Montreal, Canada. This is a very powerful paragraph. I mean, the remorse, horror, and hopelessness is exactly how I felt after binging and overeating. And this is a good reminder, because sometimes I forget, you know, for the last week I haven't been doing my program work, and you forget very, very quickly. Our minds are as addicts of what is happening. So my brain raced, he says, and this is the mental obsession that I didn't know I had, or I was always wondering what was wrong with me, actually, in this this disease. So hopelessness is what I felt, and then I would still my nerves with food, but the problem was that food would fix it, but as Harlan says, for 9 seconds it would fix it, and then I needed to fix it again and again and again. So I couldn't stop eating. That's what it was, a hopeless situation. And the more I would eat, the more I wanted to eat. And it was numbing my feelings, actually, with food. Now I feel my feelings, and, you know, I see the truth, and I have clarity, and I lean on spiritual tools, and it does work. And it's the only thing that ever worked for me. So and I have to work it every single day, like my hair is on fire. And the other part that comes to my mind is the calamity. So calamity in the dictionary means a disaster, sudden damage. And impending means a threatening event. So that was really, you know, the terrible sense of a disaster that was happening in my life. And it was uncontrollable. So, you know, today I have a design for living. I have ways to cope, you know, with my fears, my dishonesty, my self-pity, whatever comes up. And it's just a miracle. I'm so grateful that God brought me into this program. You know, I work the program. It's the self-awareness that I have now, looking at my part and getting guidance from a higher power, you know, and accepting what is and surrendering and allowing myself, like the previous person said, to be led by a higher power. And so really living this spiritual life is just a miracle, you know, being led by a higher power. And I'm really so grateful. So thank you, everybody, for your service and for being in this meeting. And I pass.
Thank you very much, Alea A. from Canada. Again, I wanted to repeat, we are on page 6 of Bill's story in the Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are studying paragraph 1 today, the remorse, horror, and hopelessness, and ends with, so 2 bottles and oblivion. If you'd like to comment, I'd like to get your first name, first initial, your last name, and your state, please.
My name is Peggy.
Sarah M. Peggy.
Wendy M.
And somebody, Wendy M. Okay.
Sarah M. from Nebraska.
Something from Nebraska.
Darcy M.
Darcy M. Okay, gotcha.
Jody E.
Jody E. Very, very faint. And I'm gonna go out on a limb here and certainly ask if you would adjust your mic, but I think, is it April B?
Jesus. April B., Virginia, can you hear me now?
It's a little bit better. It sounds like you have a cough over your mouth, but if you can go just one more step better, we'll be able to hear your share, but no problem. We'll get through it. So I have Peggy, Wendy, Darcy, Jody, and April. So up first for three is Peggy. Good morning.
Hi, this is Peggy N. from New York State. As I read this paragraph, I remember the nights at after binging, lying in bed, and wonder how much longer I could live like this. As my life was insane. How could I possibly go on eating this way and putting on the pounds like crazy? I was sure that I would have a heart attack from all the binging that I was doing. And it took me a long time to get to program. It took me a long time. I had been in and out of OA, relapsing and relapsing for years. And finally, I had a friend for 2 years that had asked me to come to a Vision for You meeting. And the very first meeting that I came to, I very shortly, day or so after that, I took a sponsor. And my life has changed remarkably, considerably. The miracles are beginning to happen in my life. I've completed the 12 steps, and I am now sponsoring somebody else. And I am so grateful to this program. I've lost a considerable amount of weight, and I'm so thrilled. I'm about 40 pounds down from where I was. So I'm so happy. And I want to thank everyone who shares and puts time into this program. Thank you very much for letting me share.
Thank you, Peggy Ann from New York. Next up is Wendy M. from Colorado, followed by Darcy. Hi, Wendy.
Yeah, good morning. Hi, Wendy M., Boulder, Colorado. Thank you so much for your service, everybody on the line. So what comes to me in this paragraph is my thinking. That this is my insane thinking. And my problem is between my ears, right? And this is the insanity, this is like an anxiety attack right here, you know. My brain raced uncontrollably, right? Like, and there was a terrible sense of impending calamity. So I believe what I think. I believe that my thinking is right. You know, I am down for the count. I will be, I will kill myself, right? I mean, such dramatic language that Bill uses here, you know, lest I collapse, you know, writhing nerves. And so I know for me that the minute I go, oh, my God, I'm in my thinking, and my thinking is my addict, and my addict is a liar, and my liar wants me dead. So I'm believing this paragraph when I'm in it. I am believing that this is the case. This is my reality. I am not even close to reality. I'm not even close to step two. You know, God will remove me to sanity, will remove me. God will make me sane. I will be restored to sanity. That is the gift of this program, is that we get to go from this incredible thinking, incredibly destructive thinking, and lying thinking, not true, not true, not true, to picking up that phone and calling you guys, and you're saying, that's not true, Wendy. You need to get restored to sanity. And the minute I know it's not true, I'm in good shape. Because what's the truth is God. And this is anything but God. This is anything but the truth, right? So the good news is we get to get out of this thinking. We don't stay here. But this definitely catapults us into the fourth dimension. This kind of thinking, this, you know, writhing nerves and maybe I'll kill myself, you know, all of this. And I've been there. I've absolutely been there. I've been to rehab centers for suicidal ideations. But what I get to do is do this program. And then this paragraph isn't true anymore. I'm in truth. I'm in God. I'm in love. I love the word courage. Somebody said that before. This is a courageous program. It's a beautiful program. And I get to be restored to thinking when I pick up that phone and I ask you guys, is this true? My brain is racing. Is this the truth? Because it feels right. It feels true. But it's not. That is the good news here.
That's time.
And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Wendy M. from Colorado. Darcy M. from Nebraska, you're next for 3 minutes, followed by Jody E. from California.
Yes, this is Darcy M. from Nebraska, a compulsive reader. What got me was the fact that when I was binging, really into my binging, the hopelessness afterwards, I didn't feel that. I felt nothing afterwards. I was just like a numb being. I don't even think I was a person. And what I did do, and the way I survived when I, as I was going with it, I lived for crisis. I would make a mountain out of a molehill on everything. If it was nothing, I could make it a crisis. And that was the only way I knew how to live. So it was like, I didn't know how to be calm or, like if the paper, like I said, where the market went to the hell again. Well, that right there would just be enough to blow me over and I would try to do something. And I was in the hospital for suicide attempts. And I wouldn't think that the market would recover. And even when, if the mental fog would settle down, it'd still be there. So then, yes, I would start eating some more. And I just kept going. And now all I would do is just feel numb. And since then, I have gotten closer to my higher power. I've gotten cleaner with my food. I've become more abstinent. Having been sick doesn't help matters as far as becoming abstinent. You don't get to eat much, but it does help clear your mind. It also makes you think about what is important and the fact that you have more time to get closer to my God, and also there's maybe more wanting to be more service. And with that, I'm going to pass. And I thank you all for your service, and thank you for being here.
Thank you, Darcy M. from Nebraska. Jody E., California, you're up next for 3, and then April will follow you.
Thank you, Melanie. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. There was a terrible sense of impending calamity. I know that feeling, too. Perhaps I didn't go quite so low as Bill, but I have had that sense of impending calamity. I'm in the food, and it's a terrible sense of impending calamity. Like, I'm not sure what's going to happen. Because I'm out of control, I'm eating uncontrollably, I can't stop, and I'm doing the wrong things, bad things, I'm forgetting important appointments, I am avoiding people who are close to me, and they can feel it, they can tell, and they're getting upset with me, and it could mean the end of my marriage, the end of a job. I one time I was pulled over by a cop and police officer because my car was swerving and he thought I was drunk. And in fact, I was eating. So yes, there is this terrible sense of impending calamity. Fortunately, that sense, I believe, is the sense that my higher power gave me. My higher power was saying, Jody, you need to do something about this. This is not going in a good direction. And by the grace of my higher power, I have been given this program, which I've had for so many years. Does that mean I've been abstinent all those years? No, but I've had this program, which has always been there for so long for me. And when I have been in the food, when I have relapsed, I have known what the solution is to come back to get abstinent once again. So I pray that this, I have had my last binge, I pray. But I don't know that. I am recovered, but I am not cured. And that's why I keep coming back. That's why I continue to work these steps and why I continue to sponsor others, which is a true blessing and for which I'm so very grateful because it gives me a sense of real purpose in my life. So thank you all for being here and being part of this fellowship, for being part of my family. With that, I will pass.
Thank you, Jody E. from California. Next up is April B., and I wanted to let you all know that we'll probably have time for one, perhaps two more shares after April, so you might want to get ready. We'll see what the time says. Hi, April.
Hi, this is April B. in Virginia. How does this sound?
Beautiful. Oh, you performed a miracle.
Sweet. Thank you. My apologies for earlier. The headphones were bad. Bill's story, you know, everything about it gets me. And the thing today I have underlined and can't get past is the courage to do battle was not there. That has to be the worst imaginable place to be in, to have the remorse, horror, and hopelessness of the next morning and yet not have the courage to do battle, to be completely and totally powerless and hopeless, to be miserable beyond words and not be able to do a thing about it, not even have the energy to try. I have been there, and it is heartbreaking. I'm probably going to cry even today just thinking about the number of times that I woke up from relapse, you know, the next day and just didn't have the courage to do battle, had no willingness, had no ability because I was just too deep into powerlessness where, you know, I know where Bill was and what he's talking about. And, you know, the difference now is that, you know, now I know that there's surrender. I don't have to do the battle. I can turn to a higher power. And, you know, Bill just didn't have that yet. He just didn't have that connection. He didn't even think about it. He just wasn't in a place to be able to do that. And, you know, and again, the paragraph before this, Bill was doing great. Laughing at the gin mills, confidence, cocksureness even, and then like a switch flipped. One second he was fine. The next second he was not. And then again, and you know, once you're, for me anyway, once I'm in it, I'm in it. Right. If I have that first bite, forget it. It's over. I'm not a, you know, single one time have a slip sort of person. I mean, if I do it, I'm in it for days or weeks or months or years, and it's terrible. But yeah, that is for me. I'm just thinking the courage to do battle was not there. Thank God it's not my battle today. I mean, thank this program. Thank God. Thank all of you people. You know, everything that there is, the gratitude that I have to not be in that place today. But I know that I could be just like Bill. I could just one day walk into some place completely innocently, and then next thing you know, I'm in it if I don't keep up with my spiritual disciplines and remember that I'm powerless for sure, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much. April B. from Virginia. Hey, are any of you interested in sharing the next 4 minutes to be able to share on paragraph one, page six of Bill's story? Donna G. And then we'll give you two as anybody else. Gotcha. And who else?
Ian F.
Well, Donna, go ahead. I'm sorry, say again.
Ian F.
Ian F. Okay, gotcha. Okay, up for two, Donna. Thank you. And then, Ian, you'll have to.
Hi, everyone. I'm Donna G., working on recovery. Yeah, I just want to kind of bounce off what was just said on that in that last comment. I, too, was doing really well, and everything was going great for me. I got through the 12 steps, and I was ready to go on to reading A Vision for You with my with my sponsor, and then I eat a bag of popcorn one night, so I couldn't, told my sponsor the next day, and she dumped me. And you know, I've been kind of floundering ever since then, so I know that feeling that Bill feels like, that hopelessness, and you know, just kind of floundering, trying to stay above water here. I'm losing my connection with my higher power. I try to work on it every day, but you know, so it's just funny how everything is going so good. I had such a connection, and then I had that one slip, and it's like I've lost everything, and I'm struggling not to do a deep dive. But, you know, anyways, I just wanted to share that. I felt like I had to say it out loud and claim my seat, because I never speak on here. And so with that, I pass, and I do get so much out of everything. So thank you all so much. Pass.
Thank you, Donna G. from Florida. Next up is Ian S. And where are you from, Ian?
Hi, I'm new. I am from Kentucky.
Oh, you're from Kentucky. Okay, great. Nice to meet you. Okay, you're up.
Thank you. I'm Ian F., compulsive overeater. this paragraph so perfectly describes the feeling, and it hits me right in the gut. I mean, I remember so many nights exactly like that, sitting on my bed, or usually on the floor of my bedroom, bloated and unable to move, and knowing that something big was going to come out of either end and I didn't know which. And just being in so much pain and wishing that it could end. And I think when he talks about oblivion versus dying, like, first of all, earlier he scoffs at people who say, who killed himself. You know, he's like, oh, I wouldn't do that. And then he gets to a place where he starts to consider it, you know, because this disease is progressive. But when I compare oblivion to dying, I think personally the only reason I didn't consider suicide seriously is because I didn't know if that would get me to a place where I wouldn't feel anything, but I knew food would, at least for a time, right? But it also never lasts, obviously, you know. He talks about the writhing nerves, and then the mind racing. Like, that is exactly what I felt like every day that I was living in this disease. It's just I couldn't stop thinking. I don't have that now. Like, as a recovered person, that's gone. You know, I don't. My mind does not race uncontrollably. Thank you. Since that's time, I will pass. Thank you all.
Thank you very much, Ian. And is it S like Sam or F like Frank, Ian?
That's F like Frank.
Okay, great. Thanks very, very much. Appreciate that. I want to get it just right. Okay. Well, thank you, everyone, for sharing today. And that will end the recorded portion of our sharing on the paragraph today. And including this particular part, don't go away. We have at least 10 more minutes left of good information that you don't want to miss. But in the meantime, I'd like to ask Robin P. to please read page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. And then we'll close it out with saying the Serenity Prayer together as we move on to the last 10 minutes of our meeting. So sit tight. Don't go anywhere. Hey, Robin. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Melanie. Thanks so much for your amazing service. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then, amen.